Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And I just want to say, I have a lot of free resources that I am providing right now. If you're interested, there is, for example, a free ebook about how to get your classes online and do distance learning. And we're going to be talking about why there's no one right way to do that. But I do have a tool and a toolkit for that. It is at spencerauthor.com/online-teaching. I've also been providing a free audiobook. There's a text version and an audiobook. It's a goofy story. I shared a chapter on this podcast called Super Pizza. My goal has been to provide some levity and some fun for students who are processing a lot of big emotions right now, and to really be a bit of an escape, but also to have a theme that is meaningful, the idea of being different, being original. And it's about a superhero pizza. It is goofy, it is fun, it is 10 chapters long. There are discussion questions to go with it, audio and text version. And that is at spencerauthor.com/pizza. And finally, you can find a ton of different video writing prompts at videowritingprompts.com. I'm offering all of those for free as well. So again, my goal is to provide as many free resources for teachers as possible during this time. Also, if you don't follow me on Facebook or Instagram, it is Spencer Education. So facebook.com/SpencerEducation and instagram.com/SpencerEducation. So again, I would love to continue to connect. I want to talk right now about what it means for us to do distance learning. We're all kind of in the same context. And I want to start by just saying how awesome teachers have been. I created a little video about this, but on Friday afternoon, my daughter's elementary school did a huge parade. They had like a police escort at the front to let people know. There was honking, which upset a couple cranky neighbors. They could get over it. And they snaked their way through all the neighborhoods, every neighborhood where there are any of the kids who go to that school. And it was powerful. I saw just about every kid walk outside, and they were carrying signs, thanking their teachers. The teachers had decorated the vehicles with cheetahs and stuff, because that's the mascot. And my daughter kept asking over and over again, what time is it? What time is it? Are you sure it's going to happen? And even though she's a fourth grader and she's a little older, she was super excited about seeing her teacher one last time. One moment was pretty emotional for me. It was watching two high school kids come out with highly decorated signs thanking specific teachers for what they had done, thanking them for who they were. And it was powerful to think that these seniors in high school are missing their senior play. They're missing their senior sports. They're missing their senior prom. They're missing their graduation, and yet they walked outside, not in bitterness and anger, but in gratitude for the elementary teachers who had shaped their world and had made a huge difference. And I think these last couple of weeks have proven to society something that we in education already know. It's that teachers care deeply about their students. I've seen so many examples of teachers making phone calls to families, having class Zoom meetings to just do a pulse check on each child, going out of their way to know that there's an adult out there who cares. I've seen third grade teachers doing read alouds and high school teachers writing positive notes to seniors, knowing that they'll miss out on graduation and varsity sports and all those things I just mentioned. I've seen them do Chromebook rollouts and make sure that every single student has a laptop, and I've seen them parking buses and putting security detail by the buses at different locations to provide free Wi-Fi for students. teaching is inherently relational, and teachers care deeply about those that they serve. And teachers have proven that social distancing is not so much social distance as it is physical distance, because the truth is there is no relational distance despite the space requirements that we're all required to follow. They might be facing these huge challenges and going online, but they are building community despite these inherent barriers that they're facing. It's not just the teachers. I'm incredibly grateful for principals and district office leaders who have managed the transition so quickly. They've done it with patience and empathy. I'm grateful for all the cafeteria and food service staff who mobilize in a matter of days to ensure that students have access to free lunch and breakfast. And for some kids, those are going to be the only two meals that are guaranteed every single day. And schools have stepped up, and they've proven what we already know, that schools are the backbones of our community. I've seen libraries that have managed to do social distancing book loans, and I've seen, I know of one librarian and a principal, they don't want me to mention names because they're a little bit shy and embarrassed by this, but they were able to use a lot of what remained in the budget to guarantee that every single student got a book sent home to them, that they bought them, they mailed a book to every single student in their school. And the librarian that speaks of messages, just volumes of what she knows about each child, that she knows the kind of books that they like. I mean, how awesome is that? And that's so true. We just see over and over again this notion of students being known. I thought it was powerful that my daughter's principal knew every kid's name as she drove by, and she said hi to them, called them by name as she drove by, honked the horn with the stream of cars coming by. That was powerful. And I just think that we see this, we know this, we feel this on a regular basis. And I mention all of this because so many teachers that I work with, the pre-service teachers that I'm teaching right now, they're feeling really uncertain right now. They're not sure what distance learning should look like. They're worried about students slipping through the cracks. They're reading articles online and tweets lambasting teachers for giving students handouts or worksheets and hearing, you know, angry things about, you know, you're not doing it right. But I just want to spend the rest of this podcast reminding us that there is no right way to do distance learning. There's no right way. There's no solid blueprint. We're all making this up as we go, and that is okay. I used to rail against worksheets and packets, and then I realized that some kids love that stuff. Not out of compliance or brainwashing or whatever people may say, they legitimately love the progression of skill-based work. And right now, some families need packets. They need structure. They need busy work as an escape. They need to be able to just work on this while the parents are at work. And that's okay. That doesn't mean it's shallow learning. There can be great, high-level, deep-thinking handouts that you can give to kids. It is okay to hand out some packets. Meanwhile, some kids need tons and tons of choice. Give them a full day of Genius Hour in distance learning, and they'll make something amazing. Give them a choice menu with 5 project ideas and watch them take flight. Let them do a wonder day and see them chase their curiosity. But other kids need a little more structure, and that's okay. Right now, some families need packets, others need projects, others need ideas, others need to be left alone as they grieve and heal and carve out some time for themselves in the midst of this chaos. Some of them have lost their jobs in the service and travel industries. Some are essential workers, and they are scrambling to get childcare when they're not allowed to have people come to their home and the childcare places are closed. Still others are telecommuting. Is that still a term? Do we still call that? And they can't take time off to teach and reteach concepts. And that's okay. Some of the parents are eager to communicate and they are loving the phone calls home, and some of them aren't answering the phone at all. Some of them aren't answering the phone because they might be dealing with lost jobs and sick parents and unbearable stress. And for some people, it took every ounce of energy just to get out of bed. In other words, some parents may want to communicate more and some parents may want to communicate less, and that's okay. Every child is different. Every family is different. But there are universals. There are things that we all need. We all need connection and compassion. We all need choice and autonomy. We all need the permission to process this social distancing in our own way. We all need to be shown a little grace. The more choice and permission we can provide for families, the better. We're handling this in different ways, and that's okay. So what does this mean? It means that we provide flexible deadlines for students. We excuse missing work. We send an email and we don't get angry if it's not answered. We understand that every kid is in a different place, every family is in a different place, and we can provide options and forgiveness and humanity in the midst of this. But it also means this: we are in uncharted territory right now, and it's amazing what teachers and school leaders are able to accomplish with little direction and a chaotic context. Maybe it's time that we extend that grace to ourselves. Maybe it's time to be okay with the idea that it's not going to be perfect, and there's no single right way to do this distance learning thing. Maybe we should recognize that it's an experiment for everyone and that we're iterating each day, and then it's okay if it's not perfect. It really is okay. Because one thing that I will remember forever is that stream of cars coming by the neighborhood, honking their horns. And I'm telling you, the kids in our hood were cheering and yelling and screaming as if this were a Super Bowl parade. That's powerful. So if your distance learning lesson tanks, and if it doesn't look perfect, I would just encourage you to remember that there is no right way to do distance learning. What matters most is that kids feel loved and supportive, and they already do, because of you. So thank you for what you're doing amid all of this chaos and stress. You are making a profound difference right now, and I just want to thank you for that. If you enjoy this podcast, would you do me a favor? Would you leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher? I guess it's not iTunes, it's Apple Podcasts, right? Anyway, thank you so much for what you're doing. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.